I remember the first time I realized that a container is not just a home for a plant, it is an island. On a high summer afternoon, I walked out to my patio and touched the side of a black plastic blueberry pot. It was hot enough to sting my palm. While the air was a manageable 85 degrees, the soil inside that pot was cooking. I watched a prize-winning shrub wilt in a matter of hours, not because it lacked water, but because its roots were literally suffocating in the heat. That was the day I stopped thinking like a gardener and started thinking like a steward of a tiny, fragile ecosystem. On a homestead, every container represents an investment of time, money, and food security. We cannot afford to lose our crops to a heat wave just because we didn't understand the physics of a pot. I want to show you how to take control of your microclimate and keep your plants thriving when the sun turns mercury into a threat. Chapter 1. The Physics of the Pot. The Invisible Oven. I often tell people that gardening in the ground is playing the game on easy mode. When a plant is in the earth, it has the benefit of a massive thermal mass. Even on a scorching day, if you dig down 6 inches, the soil remains cool and moist. In a container, that safety net vanishes. I learned quickly that a pot is a closed system. It is completely at the mercy of the ambient air temperature, and more importantly, the direct impact of solar radiation. Why does this matter so much? It comes down to root health. Most garden plants are happy when their heads are in the sun, but they need their feet to stay cool. Once the soil temperature inside a container crosses 90 degrees, the roots stop taking up nutrients. If it hits 100 degrees, the fine root hairs start to die. I have seen many homesteaders keep watering a wilting plant, not realizing the roots are too heat-stressed to actually drink. You aren't just growing a plant, you are managing a thermal boundary. The material matters. When I first started my container garden, I bought whatever was on sale. I quickly realized that the material of the pot is the first line of defense. I prefer terracotta for many things, but in a heat wave, it acts like a cooling tower. Because it is porous, water evaporates through the walls. This creates a natural cooling effect through evaporation. However, the trade-off is that it dries out incredibly fast. Plastic is the opposite. It holds water well, but thin, dark-colored plastic is a heat magnet. If I have to use plastic, I stick to light colors like tan or white. I have measured the internal temperature of a black plastic pot versus a white one sitting right next to it. The black pot was consistently 15 degrees hotter. If you already have dark pots, I recommend double potting. I place the smaller dark pot inside a larger light-colored one and fill the gap with mulch or straw. This creates a dead air space that acts as insulation. Siting for success. The scope of heat management begins with where you put the pot. I no longer place containers directly on concrete or asphalt. These surfaces are heat sinks. They soak up the sun all day and radiate that heat back into the bottom of the pot long after the sun goes down. If I have to keep pots on a patio, I use pot feet or even just some scrap wood to lift them off the ground. Getting an inch of airflow underneath the container makes a massive difference in preventing the soil from baking. Safety is also a factor here. When moving large, heavy containers to cooler spots, I always use a dolly. A waterlogged 20-gallon pot can easily weigh over 100 pounds. I also make sure that any DIY shelving or stands are built to local code requirements for weight-bearing. You do not want a tiered herb garden collapsing because you didn't account for the weight of wet soil. Essential tools to manage the physics of the pot. I rely on a few specific tools. I don't guess anymore. I use a long-stemmed soil thermometer. I want to know exactly what the temperature is near the center of the root ball. I also keep a roll of reflective bubble insulation on hand. If a heat wave is coming, I can wrap my most sensitive pots in this material to bounce the sun's rays away. Checking your pots should be a daily ritual. I do a visual check in the morning and again at the hottest part of the afternoon. I look for flagging, which is when the leaves lose their turgor pressure and start to hang limp. This is the plant's way of telling me the root zone is under duress. Why do I go to all this trouble? Because self-reliance means being a proactive problem solver. We cannot control the weather, but we can control the environment we provide for our food. When you understand the science of heat transfer, you stop reacting to wilt and start preventing it. The first step to a heat-proof garden is choosing a container that works for your climate, not against it. Chapter 2. Tactical Shade and Hydration. The Art of the Controlled Burn. I have spent many afternoons standing over my container garden, trying to decide if the sun is a friend or an enemy. In the peak of July, it is usually the latter. I have learned that full sun is a relative term. A tomato plant might love 8 hours of sun in Ohio, but in the middle of a southern heat wave, that same 8 hours in a pot will kill it. My strategy shifted years ago from maximizing light to managing exposure. The why here is simple: photosynthesis. When a plant gets too hot, it enters a state of photoinhibition. It basically shuts down to protect itself. By providing tactical shade, I am actually helping the plant grow faster because it doesn't have to spend all its energy on survival. I am not taking away its food, I am giving it a much-needed break. Shade cloth strategy. My most valuable tool in the heat of summer is shade cloth. I don't just throw an old sheet over my plants. I use professional-grade knitted shade cloth with a 30-40% rating. This allows enough light through for the plants to continue growing while blocking the most intense infrared radiation. I make sure the cloth is suspended at least a foot above the plants. I've seen people drape cloth directly onto the leaves, which can actually trap heat and create a greenhouse effect. I use simple PVC frames or even tall bamboo stakes to create a floating canopy. This allows for excellent airflow, which is critical for evaporative cooling. If the air can move, it can carry heat away from the leaves and the surface of the soil. The finger test and deep hydration watering in a heat wave is a delicate balance. I avoid the sprinkle method at all costs. Light watering only encourages roots to grow near the surface, where they are most likely to burn. I want deep, soaking hydration that reaches the very bottom of the container. The most reliable tool I have is my own hand. I use the finger test daily. I push my index finger 2 inches into the soil. If it feels dry at the tip, I water. If it feels cool and damp, I wait. Overwatering a heat-stressed plant is a common mistake. If the roots are already struggling because of the heat, saturating them with water can lead to root rot. When I do water, I do it early. I like to be out there at 6 or 7 in the morning. This gives the plant a chance to fill its tanks before the sun starts making demands. I also make sure my hoses are drained of sitting water. Water sitting in a hose in the sun can reach temperatures high enough to scald your plants. I always run the water until it feels cool to the touch before I point it at my containers. Evaporative cooling hacks. On particularly brutal days, I use a technique called misting the pots, not the plants. I spray the outside of my terracotta and fabric pots with water. As that water evaporates, it pulls heat away from the pot wall, significantly lowering the internal soil temperature. It is a simple, low-tech way to provide relief. I also pay close attention to safety when using irrigation systems. I make sure all timers are secured and that there are no trip hazards from hoses running across common walkways. Following basic homestead safety means keeping your workspace clear, especially when you are moving quickly to beat the heat. Everything we do to manage shade and water is about reducing the stress load on the plant. A plant that isn't fighting for its life has more energy to produce the vegetables and fruit that we rely on. Capability on the homestead is about knowing which lever to pull when the environment gets tough. Providing a little relief today ensures a much bigger harvest tomorrow. Chapter 3: Recovery and Long-Term Resilience. Building a thermal buffer. After years of trial and error, I realized that the best way to manage heat stress is to build resilience into the system before the heat wave even arrives. I don't want to be in emergency mode every time the forecast hits 95 degrees. I want my containers to have a built-in buffer. This is where the long-term health of the homestead is won or lost. The why behind this approach is efficiency. If I can create a self-regulating environment, I spend less time hauling hoses and more time on other chores. Resilience is the cornerstone of self-reliance. It means building systems that don't fail the moment you turn your back. The power of mulch. I never leave soil bare in a container. To me, bare soil is a crime. I use a thick layer of mulch, usually wood chips, straw, or even dried grass clippings, on top of every pot. I aim for at least 2 inches of coverage. This acts as an insulating blanket. It keeps the sun from hitting the soil directly and drastically reduces the rate of evaporation. I have found that shredded cedar or hardwood mulch works best for long-term containers. It doesn't blow away and it breaks down slowly, adding organic matter to the mix. For my vegetable starts, I prefer straw because it is easy to move aside when I need to check the soil. This simple step can reduce the need for watering by nearly 50%, which is a massive win for water conservation on the homestead. Amending for the future. When I mix my potting soil, I think about water retention from the start. I add high-quality compost and, in some cases, a small amount of coconut coir or peat moss. These materials act like sponges. They hold on to moisture and release it slowly as the plant needs it. I avoid using moisture crystals that are often found in commercial mixes. I've found they can behave unpredictably over time and aren't as reliable as good old-fashioned organic matter. I also use biostimulants like seaweed extract or kelp meal during the summer months. These aren't exactly fertilizers, they are more like a stress tonic for plants. Kelp contains hormones that help plants regulate their internal temperature and recover from the cellular damage caused by extreme heat. I apply a diluted kelp drench once a week during the hottest part of the season. It is a small investment that pays off in noticeably tougher plants, care and maintenance. Even with the best preparation, some plants will still suffer. When the heat breaks, I don't immediately reach for the fertilizer. Adding high nitrogen fertilizer to a stressed plant is like asking a marathon runner to eat a steak dinner immediately after a race. It's too much for the system. Instead, I give them deep, plain water and a little bit of shade until I see new growth. I also perform a care audit at the end of every season. I look at which pots thrived and which ones struggled. I might decide to move a certain perennial to a larger pot next year to give it more soil volume, or I might retire a black plastic pot that caused too many problems. This cycle of observation and adjustment is what makes a homesteader truly capable. Safety is always the final check. When I'm cleaning out pots at the end of the year, I wear gloves to protect against soil-borne pathogens and sharp edges on older containers. I also make sure my storage area is organized so that heavy pots aren't stacked in a way that could tip over. We are not just growing plants, we are refining a system of survival. By preparing for the heat before it hits, you turn a potential disaster into just another day on the homestead. The true test of a gardener isn't how they handle the spring, but how they shepherd their life through the fire of summer.